Lord, today I pray that you make this message clear. I pray that you stop any hindrance, whether it be of the flesh, of the world, or of a spiritual nature, the devil. I just pray that you help it along the airwaves without any interruption. Help our ears to hear without any blockages. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Today's title is The Man of Sin. Our text is from 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 to 12. Now the Bible makes it clear that there are different ages. We are currently in an age called the church age. This is referring to a group of people that are saved throughout the world since Christ's resurrection. Now by saved, I mean saved by grace through faith. And the Bible says, and that not of yourselves. Salvation is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, God gives a free pass to anyone who would accept him as a savior. Okay. It's a free pass. It's a free gift. And he doesn't want anybody ever to think that they were able to save themselves. That's why it states, lest any man should boast. Because that's exactly what man would do. If man was able to save himself, he would be yelling it from the mountaintops. Okay? That's called pride. And that's why it doesn't happen that way. It never did. So this time period exists because of the rejection of the Messiah from the Jewish nation over 2,000 years ago. Romans 10:19 states, but I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation, I will anger you. So, talk to a Jew about Christ, and most of the time you'll get anger. I've seen videos on YouTube, obviously, of guys trying to pass out tracts in Israel or whatever, and being mobbed, and others trying to stop the mob of Orthodox Jews attacking this person that's trying to pass out tracts or whatever. So this is a real thing. So God has angered the Jewish nation by the Gentiles. He provoked them to jealousy because of their rejection. Okay, that's what Romans 10:19 says. In Deuteronomy 32:21, it states, they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. So that's what God thinks of the Gentiles, a foolish nation. Need I say more? One he calls his children, the other he calls a foolish nation. Yet, we get to get in on it because his children rejected him. And now we get a chance in salvation to become his children, to become sons of God. So this main purpose of this age is to bring the light of Jesus Christ into a dark world filled with all kinds of foul spirits and filthy sin. How filthy? Can't even describe it to you. There are things that I know that I can't even talk about. And that has nothing to do with the devil. You say it's the devil, you know, it's satanic. And no, that's just man's darkness, man's wickedness coming out to play. Just like in Noah's day, where the Bible says their imagination was evil continually. So God had to wipe them all out, except for 8 people. Now, what can I say? Some have estimated that it was possible before Noah, before Noah's flood, that there were trillions of people on Earth, given statistics with birth rates and people living 800-900 years. It was possible. Doesn't mean that it was, but it was possible that there were trillions of people on Earth. So you could imagine what that teaches us. The more people, the more sin. The more sin, the more depravity, the more God gets mad, the more God has to wipe them out. It's a simple equation. It's 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 equals done. So the way we go about it, it's through witnessing and passing out literature that tells people how to get saved and never forgetting to pray over those efforts. Okay, that's bringing the light of Christ into a dark world. We're part of a chain of events. We do not know which part oftentimes. For example, 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You understand? So are you planting? Are you watering? Are you planting? Are you watering? Are you planting? Are you watering? God gives the increase. It's not you who save someone. It's not your skill, not your salesman pitch, none of that. Okay, if somebody actually gets saved, it's a conviction brought upon them by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must perform that operation that's made without hands, the Bible says. Okay? And the only way you can do that, and the only way you can get saved is to realize you're a sinner. That's the only way. The only way. Because it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, right? Well, Jesus Christ is the Savior. Why? What is he saving us from? From hell, from sin, from eternity, and an eternity of flames and fire and solitude? That's what he's saving us from, right? From ourselves. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's his purpose. That was his job description. So now we have people that plant, people that water, but God gives the increase. The Holy Spirit, the conviction of sin, brings forth salvation to those who are ready or humble enough to bow the knee and realize that they are a sinner. We are sinners. If you can't see that, there's something wrong with you. In order to understand what happens next, though, we must see that the church age is coming to an end. We see the world rise up in madness, absolute madness. Black is white, white is black. Nobody knows what's going on anymore. Venezuela, I mean, people are eating the zoo animals and each other. One guy kidnapped a child and cooked the child, cut it up in pieces, and gave it to different people. I mean, I'm sure there's more stories like that, but it's this is what happens. You say, is this true? Yeah, this is true, because even in the Bible, the same thing. Remember that story about the two women that went up to the king? I said, well, what are you going to do? She promised that we can have her child for a meal, because it was a time of famine, and now she doesn't want to give the child as a meal, you know? So, I mean, you got to understand that these things happen. They've always happened. They're always going to happen until the Lord takes care of business. So madness, perversion, and fear like no other time before. It's become a global phenomenon. We see madmen are trying to prepare the way for a person called the Antichrist, against Christ. You say, yeah, but the Pope, yes, but throughout history, there always have been people that were against Christ. Always. Every Pope, every religion, every dictator, communism, socialism, I mean, you just pile it on. It's all an antichrist system. The goal of these madmen is to bring together the economic, religious, and political agendas under one world government and ruler. Now, I know if you're a prepper, I know if you think you're going to make it, Like I said in other sermons, some people are deceived in believing they're in the tribulation. It's because they can't read the Bible for themselves and believe what it says. It's going to happen anyway. Whether you get yourself a container, put it underground, make it into a condo, whether you have 50 guns and 2 million bullets, it doesn't matter what you do. This is history written in advance. The only thing that matters is what you do with Christ. That's the only thing that matters. Everything else, we're expendable. We see that the Muslims are waiting for a character named Mahdi, and the Jews are waiting for a character named Messiah, obviously the anti-Messiah, the Antichrist, because they rejected the real Messiah about 2,000 years ago. So in recent world events, we see that the decision of Trump to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital is playing right into the hands of biblical prophecy. This is causing untold chaos and confusion amongst the United Nations that hate the Jews, by the way, and all the Arab countries that hate the Jews, by the way. This had to happen in order for a political figure to rise and bring false peace to that area of the world. This figure is known as the man of sin, the Antichrist, the son of perdition. Although we are very close to the end of this age, marked by the catching away, or what is commonly called a rapture, we can recognize the times and seasons that have led us down this dark path. Like any path, there are steps that must be taken, and this is what is brought to our attention in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Step 1, apostasy. That's in verse 3, okay? Verse 3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Let no man deceive you. That day shall not come, except there coming a falling away. What is he talking about? He's saying that the apostasy happens first, then that man of sin is revealed. So don't be deceived by someone telling you, we're in the tribulation. It's not Bible. But the falling away, I mean, who was Paul talking about? Was he talking about Pentecostals? Evangelicals? Baptists? Who was he talking about? Enochites? Apocryphites? Hypocrites? Who was he talking about? To the Christians at that time that made up the body of Christ, the first ones that were born out of grace through faith, that's who he was talking to. And that's who he's saying the falling away. The falling away of the staunch ones, the first ones, the ones that had the most faith at that time in Christ, because they were either around when he was there, or they were in direct contact with Paul. So they were the ones that had the heaviest burden to produce and probably had the most zeal. It may have been weird times and confusing times at times, but they were the first birth, the first new birth. And he's telling this group of people that there's going to be a falling away first. He's not talking about watered down Baptists, watered down evangelicals, babbling Pentecostals. He's not talking about this stuff. He's talking about the true believers at that time.